Welcome to all. Today's office is Bobasa Daf Mem Dalin, and we are starting right at the top of the Amud. In today's office, sponsor Leilu Nishmas, Marsh Merim Sarabasa, Yaakov Maisha, Her Neshama should have an Aliyah, and Leilu Nishmas, Rabbi Yisrael Yantav, Rabbi Asher Anshul, his Neshama should have an Aliyah. So pay attention because the recap is important. We had a Braisa which the Risha and the Seifa seemed to be sizer each other. The Risha taught if someone sold his field or house, he cannot be an aid regarding its ownership, Mipnesha Achra Yusai Olav, whereas the Seifa taught that if he sold a cow or garment, he could be an aid regarding its ownership, Mipnesha Ein Achra Yusai Olav. Now the question is, what's the difference between the Risha and the Seifa? Why are we assuming that he takes a chrayas, he guarantees the sale in this situation and not in that one. And so our current explanation is that the Reisha is referring to where Reuven stole a field from Shimon, sold it to Levi, and Yehuda is coming along claiming that it's really his and not Levi's, Shimon's, or Reuven's. And the Braisa is telling us that Shimon, the original owner, cannot testify that the property is not Yehuda's because he's nageh be'edos. He has a vested interest in it remaining by Levi, either because Yehuda is more of a difficult person to deal with and therefore it's better for Shimon to bring Levi to court as opposed to Yehuda, or because Yehuda actually has aid in proving his side. So if it's granted to him, it's going to be much more difficult for Shimon to get it back, as opposed to, again, if he would deal directly with Levi. And because of this, he's negeh be'edos, so he can't testify. And currently, we're understanding that the words "b'pnei she'achru yisai olav" mean because he has rights to it and will attempt to reclaim it from him. Now, that's just the Reish of the Braisa. We still don't understand what the Seif of the Braisa is talking about. But before we get into the Gemara, the most important point to keep in mind over here is to determine whether or not Shimon, he's our main guy, is negeh be'edos. Does he stand to gain from testifying that this thing is that guy's or it's not the other ones? So Gemara picks up with this and asks, V'lokum b'gazlan, why don't we just establish it by the gazlan? Why do we have to say that Reuven stole it from Shimon and then sold it to Levi? What's the selling part relevant over here? We can have the same exact situation that Reuven stole it from Shimon and now Yehuda's coming along saying that it doesn't belong to Reuven or Shimon, it really belongs to him, and that Shimon's not allowed to testify because he's negeh be'edos. And the answer to that is Mishum Dekabay L'Misni Seifa, because we have to have the Seifa. And here we're going to see the difference between the Risha and the Seifa. What does the Seifa say? Machar le'paro, machar le'talis. He sold him a cow or a talis. And this would be the same situation where Reuven stole a cow or talis from Shimon and sold it to Levi. And the dafka machar, it has to be in the seifa that he sold it. Davla yiyush v'shin rishos, because that situation of yiyush, Shimon gives up hope on ever getting it back, and there's a shin rishos, there's a change of ownership, a change of rishos, and in this situation, Shimon is not negeh be'edos because he's not going to be able to get it back anyway. In this case of the seifa is dafka, avaloy machar. But if Reuven had not yet sold the stolen object, the hadrele now it could go back to Shimon because there isn't both yiyush and shin rishos. Loi, Shimon would not be allowed to give eidos because he would be noigea, and therefore Tanu Reisha Nami Machar. The Reisha as well talks about a case where Reuven sold the object, even though again it doesn't have to be that. In other words, the answer is you're right. The Reisha could really be talking about a case that the field or house is still by the gazlan. It's just that since the seifa has to be talking about where the thing was sold, the Reisha also mentions the thing was sold. And so here we have the difference between the Reisha and the seifa. In the Reisha, Shimon's noigea be eidos because he's always able to get his property back, whereas in the seifa, since the thing was sold already, Shimon can't get it back. Therefore, he's not noigea be eidos. As Gemara, hold on a second. With seifa nami, even in the seifa, neither miyayish megufe. Granted that Shimon was miyayish from the actual object because it was already sold, but midumel mi miyayish, was he miyayish of getting its money back? He was never miyayish from that. He figured that he could still bring Reuven to Besdin and force Reuven to pay him for stealing and selling the object. So Gemara answers loitzrich the whole chedesh is the mis gazlan, where the gazlan Reuven he died. Then on we have a mishnah that says hagazul machlas banav, if a person steals something and then takes it and feeds it to his kids, or vinech lefneim, he left it to them, meaning he died and now they were yairish it. They don't have to pay. The Gemara asks, if that's so, welcome to Yairesh. Why don't we just establish this Bryce is talking about a Yairesh? And that's why Shimon's not negeh be'edos. Why are we saying that Reuven stole it, sold it, and then died? And we further clarify this. This is all good according to the Ma'ad Amar, that when somebody inherits something, he's not considered like he purchased it. So the way we set up the case works well. It has to be that Reuven stole it and sold it. It can't be that he died and yarshened it to his kids because his kids are not like people who bought it. El Ma'ad Amar, Rishus Yairesh Kirshus Lekech Dami, according to the Ma'ad Amar, that a Yairish is exactly like a Lekeach, Ma'akel Meimar. What are we able to say? Why don't we just establish the Braisa more simply, that Reuven stole it, died, and gave it over to his kids, Yerusha, and his kids are just like a Lekeach, they're just like a buyer, and therefore Shimon gives up hope of ever getting the item back, and even its money, he's not going to get repaid for it. Why do we have to say that Reuven stole it and sold it? Vaykash Le'Abai, Abai has another question. Mipnei Shachru Yusei Olav, Ein Achru Yusei Olav. Is that what the Braisa telling us in the Reisha, Mipnei Shachru Yusei Olav, and the Seifa telling us, Mipnei Shein Achru Yusei Olav? That's the reason why Shimon's not allowed to, or is allowed to give eidos. This is the wrong wording to use. These words should have been used because it's going to come back to him or it's not going to come back to him. As we explained in the introduction, as a recap of yesterday, the words shachrisa olav mean that Shimon has rights to this and he's going to try to get it back and therefore he's negeh be'edos. Or enachrisa olav, that he doesn't have rights to it, so he's not going to be able to get it back and therefore he's not negeh be'edos. That's the wrong word to use. Achrayus means a guarantee. If this is really the pshat in the Braisa, the Braisa should have said, it's going to come come back to him or it's not going to come back to him. And because of these two questions, we have a totally different understanding of what the Braisa is talking about. El kid Rav Bar Shmuel. It's just like Rav Bar Shmuel, Dom Rav Bar Shmuel, Mishmei de Shmuel. Rav Bar Shmuel said the name of Shmuel, and we had this yesterday. Amar Chasadel Chaver Shaloi Bachrayas. A person sells a field to his friend, Shaloi Bachrayas. So we're going to keep the same names over here. Shimon sold a field to Reuven, Shaloi Bachrayas. He didn't guarantee it. So if it gets taken away from Reuven, Reuven's not able to come back to Shimon. In such a case, Ein Mei Loi Aleha. Shimon is not able to give Eidos about the field. Because he's establishing it in front of his Bal Chayv. So just to clarify, the case is that Shimon sold a field to Reuven with no guarantee, and then Yehuda attempts to take it away claiming it was never Shimon's. Shimon is not allowed to give Eidos regarding this because he's Nageya. Why is that? It's in his best interest that the land remain by Reuven, the buyer, so that his Bal Chayv, Levi, can collect it. So let's just set up this case again so that it's clear. We have Shimon, he's our main guy. He was the one that sold the property to Reuven, Shaloi Bachrayas. There was no guarantee. Now, Shimon had previously borrowed money from Levi, which means that Levi can now take this property away from Reuven to collect the debt that Shimon owes him. And what happens? Yehuda comes along claiming that this field was really never Shimon's and that really it's his. It's Yehuda's. And so Rav Mar Shmuel is telling us an explanation of the Braisa that Shimon is not allowed to testify about this field, even though it was sold Shaloi Bachrayas, there's no guarantee on it, so Reuven's not going to come back to him to collect more payment if it gets taken away by Levi, but still, Shimon wants it to remain by Reuven because that means that now Levi has a property to collect from, he could take it away from Reuven, and that makes Shimon free and clear of his debt. So Shimon is Nagei Be'edos. And clarification of this is, V'dafka Ba'asai Sadeh. This is only with a house or field. Aval Par V'talis, but in regards to Par Natalis, this is not so, because there's never going to be a case where Levi is going to be allowed to go to Reuven and take that Par or Talis away for his debt collection. Why is that? So there's a few situations. You don't even have to say that when Shimon borrowed money from Levi, he borrowed from him Stam, and he never designated the cow or the coat to be used as loan payback. So for sure, these things are not meshubed to be used for a loan payback. And my time of why would that be? Metalti ninhu, because they're movable objects. And movable objects are never meshubed to Baal Chayv. And Mavagav the Kosovle, even though it was written in the Shtar, Miglima Dal Kaspe, that the Baal Chayv Levi could collect from the cloak on his back, Hanimili de Esnu Beinayu. That's only if he has a coat. Meaning, if when Levi comes to Shimon to collect from him, Shimon has a coat, so Levi could take it away from him. Aval Esnu Beinayu, but if it's not there because it was subsequently sold to Reuven, Loi. So for sure, Levi is not allowed to collect that coat. Even if it was made into an apetiki, he also can't collect from it. What's an apetiki? So it's a conjugation of the words apaita hekai, that this is where you're going to collect from. Namely, when Shimon borrows from Levi, he points to a cow or a coat and he says, this is where you could collect your debt from. Even in such a case, namiloi, if Shimon had subsequently sold it to Reuven, Levi would not be allowed to take it from Reuven. Again, even though it's turned to an apetiki. My time of why is that? Kid Rava. It's like what Rava said. Dama Rava. Rava tells us, asa avde apetiki, if someone made his evidence an apetiki, that's where the loan is supposed to be collected from, umcharei, and then he sold his evid, Bachayv Gavim Menu. The Bachayv could go to the guy who bought the evid and take it away for that collection. Whereas Shreiv Chamar Apatiki, if he turned his Shar Chamar or any other metaltolin into an Apatiki, Umcharei, and then he sold it, Ain Bachayv Gavim Menu. The Bachayv, in this case Levi, is not allowed to go to the buyer Reuven to collect it. My time of why is that? Highest Lekala, Vahilas Lekala. Because an evid, when he's made into an Apatiki, has a coil, and the buyer knew about it, and therefore the Bachayv is allowed to collect it from the buyer. Whereas regular metaltolin do not have a coil, and therefore, even though it's turned into an Apatiki, it's not allowed to be collected from the buyer. So we have another answer to this here in our Braisa. In the Reisha, Shimon had borrowed money from Levi and then sold the property of his to Reuven. Yehuda's coming along claiming that property really is his. Shimon's not allowed to give Eidos over here regarding the property because since Shimon's Baal Chayv, Levi, could collect it from Reuven, he's Negev Eidos. He doesn't want Yehuda to take it away because then Levi won't have where to collect from, and that's why it's in his best interest that the property stays by Reuven. But in the Seifa, when we have the same exact case, but Shimon had sold movable objects, Metaltalin, to Reuven, then he's not Negev Eidos because anyway, Levi, the Baal Chayv, is not able to go and take these things away from Reuven. Therefore, Shimon can give Eidos about them. And this would be the meaning of B'nei Shachru Yusai Oy Ein Achru Yusai Olav. Land is part of the Achrayas, is part of the guarantee, and it could be collected by a Baal Chayv, whereas Metaltalin are not part of the Achrayas, and therefore can't be collected by the Baal Chayv. So I'm going to be focusing on this point that Metaltalin are not allowed to be collected by a Baal Chayv once they were sold by the original owner, by the borrower. And so the Gemara asks, V'leichash, why don't we be chashish for the following? Dilma Akni Le Metaltalin Agav Makarki. Maybe when Shimon borrowed money from Levi, he was Makni Metaltalin to him, Agav Karka, and Amar Rabba Rabba says, E Akni Le Metaltalin Agav Makarki, Kani Makarki, Kani Metaltalin. That if a person has Makni Metaltalin along with Karka, the moment the person makes a kinyan on the Karka, he automatically acquires the Metaltalin, and in the case of a Chayv, it would work the same way. That if when Shimon borrowed money from Levi, he was Makni property to him to be used as part of the debt collection, and Agav that property, he was also Makni Metaltalin to him, so the Metaltalin has the same exact din as the Karka, and even if Shimon had subsequently sold the Metaltalin to Reuven, Levi is allowed to collect them from Reuven. So aren't we chashish for this case, going back to the drawing board, that since Levi could collect these Metaltalin, that would make Shimon Negei Be'edos, and he wouldn't be allowed to test testify in this case? And before we answer the question, we just have to clarify how this thing would actually work. From Rav Chisda, Rav Chisda says, "V'hude kasavlei, it would have to be that Shimon wrote in the shtar for Levi, the loika smachta. This is not an asmachta. This is a real kinyan because we know asmachta loikanya. And he also has to write with the loika types of the shtari. This is not just a fake shtar that's meant to copy off of. This is a real shtar. And in such a case, the kinyan of metaltal and agav the karka would work. And so, what do we do with this question? The answer is hachmasginu. What are we talking about over here? Kagan shalokach u'machar la'altar. It's where he bought this metaltalin and sold it right away. Dahainu, Shimon bought it and sold it right away to Reuven, and therefore we don't suspect that in the interim, in between buying and selling, he borrowed money and then was makne this metaltalin agav karka in order to be used as loan collection. Wouldn't have to go so far to be chashish that. Ask more of a lechosh, why don't we chashish the following? Dilma de ikni amar le. That's the proper girsa to add in these words amar le. Maybe when Shimon was borrowing money from Levi, he used this lashon of de ikni, that which I will buy. In other words, perhaps on Sunday, when Shimon borrowed money from Levi, he told him, right now I don't have anything, but any metaltal in the future that I will buy, that's de'ikni, and those are being acquired to you agav the karka. And so once again we run to the same issue. And the Gemara now makes a suggestion. Since the Brisa seems not to be worried by this case, Shamis Mino, why don't we say that we learn from here de'ikni, that if he had said whatever I do buy in the future is going to be meshubed to you, and then kanu machar, he bought an object and sold it, or kanu v'hayrish, he bought something and was mayrish it over to his kids, loy mishtabed, it's actually not mishtabed. And the reason why it's a problem to say this is because later on the Gemara is going to ask us as a question and leave it unanswered. Well, over here we technically have a great answer. Clearly, since the price is not chayshish for it, it must be that if a person says de'ikni, that which I will buy, whatever he buys later is not mishabed. The Gemara gives a different answer. The reason why we're not chayshish for this is loy tzricha, the whole chiddush is dekamri edim. It's because we have edim saying yadinon bei bahai, we know about this fellow Shimon deloy havalei arma olam, that he never had land, and that's why we're not chayshish for this. The whole chashash of de'ikni is only possible if Shimon the borrower had land, and then later on he bought metaltalin that could be acquired agav the karka to be used as a shibud for the loan. But since the edim are testifying that Shimon never owned, bought, or sold any land, so it can't be that there's a shibud of his metaltalin agav karka. As that takes care of that issue. And now continue to discuss a point regarding metaltalin. We're understanding the whole time that if Reuven bought metaltalin from Shimon and then it gets taken away by a bal chayv, a Levi, Reuven cannot go back to Shimon demanding to be reimbursed for that. And because of this, Shimon is not negeh be'edos and is allowed to testify that this really belongs to Reuven and it's not Yehuda's. Again, who's this guy coming to claim that it's really his? But the Gemara asks on this now. If Amar Papa, Papa says, Afagav de Amar Abanon, even the Rabbanon say, if someone sells a field to his friend, Shaloi Bachrayas, there's no guarantee on it. And therefore, Uba Bal Chayv Tarfa, a Bal Chayv comes along and takes away from the buyer, Eino Chayzer Olav. The buyer, Reuven, is not allowed to go back to Shimon to say, hey, you have to reimburse me. However, Nimtzei Sheina Shaloi, if it turns out that it was never Shimon's in the first place, Shimon sold Reuven a field that was never his, and then it gets taken away from Reuven, Chayzer Olav, he could go back to Shimon to get reimbursed. And we technically apply the same thing to metaltalin. Even though in a standard case, if Reuven buys metaltalin from Shimon and then they get taken away by Baal Chayv, Reuven's not allowed to go back to Shimon. However, if it turns out that the thing was never Shimon's in the first place, because Yehuda comes along and says, look here, Reuven, I feel really bad, but Shimon sold you something that wasn't his, so Reuven in this case would be allowed to go back to Shimon. Going all the way back to the original problem, how could Shimon give Eidos? He's Nageya. Yehuda's claiming from Reuven, this belongs to me, and if it turns out to be true, Reuven's going to come back to Shimon. So Shimon is Nageya be'edos. The Gemara answers, Hachamayaskin, what are we talking about over here? B'makar bashi hibas chamayrai. That he recognizes that this is the daughter of his donkey. Specifically, this is referring to a case where Reuven openly admits that he knows that this donkey that he bought from Shimon is the daughter of Shimon's donkey. This was never Shimon's. That's tough luck on Reuven because he already admitted that he knows that this was Shimon's, and that's what we're referring to over here, once again, making Shimon not negeh be'edos. Now, Rav Zvid argues on this entire premise of ours, afilu nimtzis she'ena shaloi, enu chazer alav. Even if the field that was bought from him turns out not to have been Shimon's, still, Reuven can't go back to Shimon. That's the reason why I sold you something without a guarantee, because I knew that we're going to run into issues later on and I wanted to clean myself of this whole story, so I sold you and it's your fault that you got stuck in this mess. I don't have to reimburse you. And since this applies even in the case of karka, of course it's going to apply by metaltalin. We're going to stop here for the day and pick up tomorrow and continue to talk about this. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.